Welcome, and thank you for joining today's media call. At this time, all participants will be on a listen-only mode until the question and answer session of today's conference. At that time, to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your phone, unmute your phone, and record your name when prompted. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn the call over to Michael Short of the National Association of Manufacturers. Michael, you may begin.
Well, thank you, and good morning, everybody, and thanks for everybody for hopping on the call this morning. As you all well know, the tax reform debate is heating up with the scheduled floor vote in the Senate happening tomorrow. And to discuss the importance of that vote and the importance of Senator Corker's vote in favor of that legislation, I've got National Association of Manufacturers President and CEO Jay Timmons, Bradley Jackson of the Tennessee Chamber of Commerce and Industry, and I've got Amy Davis, the General Manager of Cummins Filtration in Nashville. With that, I'll go ahead and turn the call over to Jay.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you all for joining us ahead of what should well be a historic vote in the United States Senate and a pivotal moment for America as well. Tax reform is the manufacturing issue of our generation, and so I want to be very direct. There really is no better, no bigger, no bolder way to support manufacturing and manufacturing workers in Tennessee and across America than for senators to cast a vote for this important bill. And I have to say, we're really encouraged by Senator Corker's pivotal vote yesterday for the bill in committee. That was really good news. This legislation is why manufacturers are standing up and speaking very loudly on the need for competitive tax policy. We've been hearing from our members all year, especially our small and medium-sized manufacturers, and they've spoken very loudly and very clearly. Tax reform is the right thing to do for manufacturing workers. They do not want to wait any longer. Tax reform is good for manufacturing. A strong manufacturing sector is good for America, and it's good for American workers. In our last Manufacturers Outlook survey, almost 65% said that they would increase investment and equipment and other capital when tax reform is enacted. 64% said that they would expand their businesses, 57% said they would hire more workers, and 52% reported that they would increase wages and benefits. Tax reform truly has the power to transform our industry, propel us into the future, and lift us to new heights. That's why it's manufacturers' number one priority. You know, manufacturers today face fierce and mounting competition from overseas. Other countries have figured it out. They've lowered their rates. They've modernized their tax codes. And meanwhile, our small manufacturers here in this country are at a disadvantage, and our large manufacturers face the highest statutory corporate tax rate in the developed world. It's just not fair to our workers who have to shoulder the burden of that competition. America hasn't seen big reform in more than three decades, and it's our workers who are paying the price as manufacturers fight to compete. We want America to remain the best place to invest and to do business, to create jobs and to raise wages, and this bill makes that possible, which is why the NAM will designate it as a key vote. Now, I have to say, Bob Corker has been a true and consistent champion for manufacturing and for manufacturing workers, both as a senator and also as a mayor, and we respect and appreciate all that he has done for our sector over his many, many years of public service. We're encouraging him to be there for us again on this critical vote on tax reform. So with that, I'll turn it over to Bradley Jackson. Bradley is the president and CEO of the Tennessee Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Bradley?
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it. I want to start off with thanking NAM. I will tell you, for as long as I've been in, you know, active trade association work, which has been over about 10 years, major tax reform at the federal level is a constant issue that we've always heard about. You know, it's been out of reach for so long, and really the work that Jay and his team has done in working with both the, you know, the president and through Congress has been tremendous to advance the effort. So thank you all, Jay. This is it's a very exciting day. It's something that we've all worked toward a long time. Tax reform is a significant issue for manufacturing and really manufacturing workers in Tennessee. Manufacturing here is our second largest private employer, and it's trending up significantly. We expect that in the near future it'll be the largest private employment sector in Tennessee. Employs over about 350,000. And really the benefit, one of the main benefits to workers are the wages that these jobs pay here, which average about $67,000. You know, when you compare that to non-farm employment here, that sector or non-farm is about $44,000. These are jobs that have good benefits and are a tremendous asset to our local communities. You know, Tennessee is a great growth model to look at. When we get manufacturing here, it has swelled our tax coffers here, and that money is invested in education, health care, you know, any number of other state activities. And I know NAM has reported that that ripple effect as it grows here is about a, you know, for every dollar paid, it's about $1.80 that goes into Tennessee's economy. So, Senator Corker, we thank him for his vote yesterday. Like Jay said, he's been a strong advocate for manufacturing. We do encourage him to continue and to support tax reform. We know it's the right thing to do here, and it's crucially important to manufacturing and our workers here in the volunteer state.
Amy, do you want to give some brief remarks?
Yes, thank you very much. My name is Amy Davis. I'm from Cummins. For those of you who don't know, Cummins is a Fortune 150 company, and we're actually celebrating our 100th anniversary in 2019. We design, manufacture, distribute, and service diesel and natural gas engines and related technologies, including fuel systems, air handling, filtration, electrical power generation systems. We're headquartered in the U.S., and we serve customers in approximately 190 countries and territories around the world. So we're truly a global business operating in a very competitive industry. I lead a billion-dollar business unit within Cummins, and we are headquartered in Nashville, Tennessee. I personally reside in the state of Tennessee. Cummins has a long history in Tennessee, and actually my business unit has a large plant in Cookeville. And that plant has been in Tennessee for nearly 50 years. Tennessee is actually becoming a hub for Cummins. We have nearly 2,000 employees in the state, and it's growing. We have a distribution center in Memphis that we recently invested in and increasing employment in. Our headquarters in Nashville, we have a corporate call center in Nashville as well as some corporate support. Really, the state of Tennessee is a great business climate, and Cummins is proud to be a part of that and working with our employees in the state of Tennessee. Like all Tennessee manufacturers, we're very pleased the process for tax reform is moving in the right direction, and after years of work on these issues, it's finally coming to fruition. This is a critical inflection point, I think, as previously stated. Innovation-driven companies like Cummins, who are based in the U.S., we're at a severe disadvantage globally because of our antiquated tax code. We need comprehensive tax reform to allow businesses like Cummins to unleash our full potential when it comes to hiring and investment. And for my business, and really for Cummins, that can mean in Tennessee. For too long, an outdated tax code has hindered economic growth and higher wages for workers. A lower tax corporate rate will help us better compete globally. To be meaningful, we need to get the U.S. rate closer to the OECD average of near 20%. The U.S. is one of the only industrialized countries that retains a worldwide tax system, and this feature severely undermines our competitiveness. Moving to a territorial tax regime will help my business unit, Cummins, and all U.S. companies compete on a more level playing field. We prefer the reform be made permanent to bring greater certainty to long-term business planning. And we believe any good compromise bill will be fiscally responsible and will not create unsustainable debt. We truly would like you to be a part of a bipartisan solution that will help us win more business globally and grow our footprint here in the U.S. And we believe that will result in increased investment in Tennessee and in the U.S. Really, that concludes my comments, and I'll turn it back over to Michael.
All right, operator, I think we're ready to go ahead and begin the Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number 1 on your phone, unmute your phone, and record your name clearly when prompted. Your name is required to introduce your question. To cancel your question, press star followed by the number 2. One moment, please, for our incoming question. Speakers, we have one question in queue. One moment as I get the name. Speakers, the first question comes from Colin Wilhelm. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks for the call today. I was curious as to what your thoughts might be on the deficit trigger that Senator Corker is pushing for tax reform. Is that something that NAM might support or oppose? And do you have any further details on what that might look like?
Hey, this is Jay. You know, there are a lot of issues that will need to be worked out in the final legislation, but just on a broader look at the deficit, I can say that manufacturers are concerned about the debt and deficit, and we want to see some action on that. But tax reform itself is really designed to help us grow our economy. And the goal in tax reform from the very start has been, and it's certainly been our goal, is to create policy that makes us more competitive so that we can create jobs here. And, of course, the more jobs that we create in this country and the more economic opportunity that's created, for good or bad, it means more money into the federal treasury. And that's everybody's interpretation about whether that's a good thing or not. But one thing is for certain, the more money that comes into the treasury is less debt. So the goal is to grow our economy. Will we have some debt in the short term, additional debt? Yes, absolutely we will. But the reason behind that is to really invest in ourselves and invest in our own economy so that we're creating more jobs, we're creating more opportunity, and ultimately lowering that debt.
And do you have a sense of what this trigger might end up looking like? Has that been discussed or shared by Senate Republican leadership?
We do not.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Andrew Tangle. Your line is now open.
Hi, Jay and everyone. Curious about this provision regarding the elimination of tax credits for grad students. Is there any worry on your part that this might limit folks going into grad school to get STEM degrees at a time when manufacturers are really struggling to, in many cases, find skilled workers with engineering degrees that they need? Have you all raised this issue? Is this a concern in your all's view?
No, Andrew, I'm not concerned about that. What I think is most important is to free up money that individuals have earned so that they can use it for the priorities that they've set for themselves. So lower rates overall is going to be a good thing, not only for individuals, but obviously for businesses who are creating jobs and opportunities. To your point, though, about the skills gap, that is an ongoing situation, and it is not, in my view, it is not impacted either way by tax reform, except that we're going to create more opportunities, so we're going to need to recruit more skilled labor. Having said that, I think there are lots of opportunities for folks in the manufacturing sector at all levels. We have opportunities. Yes, you're right. We need folks with advanced degrees. That's nothing new. That's a decades-old problem. But we also need people at other levels. We have opportunities for folks that are coming directly out of high school with a high school degree. We have opportunities for folks who have some training that have been afforded by technical schools or by community colleges. And then we have opportunities for folks with four-year degrees. So there's many opportunities, and our Manufacturing Institute is working hard on closing some of the some of those gaps. And in fact, just today, they launched a fairly aggressive program to recruit returning military personnel into the manufacturing workforce, and we know that that's going to pay big dividends for manufacturing.
Could I ask one sort of broader follow-up? Are there any particular provisions in either of the competing versions of the tax overhauls, mainly with the Congress, that are most concerning? That are there any particular that manufacturers are worried about? Be they multinational, large manufacturers or smaller manufacturers, anything that is concerning that you'd like to get out of the final version of the bill?
Yeah, I think we've outlined our concerns pretty aggressively, and the concerns really revolve around small and medium-sized manufacturers in both versions. They're just different. It's different language. So in the Senate bill, we are very concerned that there's a deduction, I believe, at 17.4% versus lower permanent statutory rates. In the House version, there is an assumption of 70% individual income to 30% business income, when that may not be reality at all. We have many, many small businesses who are operating on a shoestring that have 90% plus of their income that are dedicated to their operations. So I think getting those two things worked out so that we see permanent, real, and strong relief for small businesses is going to be an imperative in the final bill.
Thanks.
Thank you. We show no further questions in queue at this time.
All right, I think without any further questions, we're going to go ahead and conclude this call. Thanks, everybody, for hopping on.
Thank you. That concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.